Welcome to Insight Aviation, helping you to take a look inside the world of captains, aerospace professionals, air traffic controllers, and much more. Learn how they got started, where they are now, and their advice for aspiring aviators. This series is brought to you by Wayman Aviation Academy. Learn to fly with a safe, reliable, professional academy, located between Miami and Fort Lauderdale in sunny South Florida, USA. Enjoy the training and cosmopolitan life with Wayman's 42 aircraft, 6 airline partners, and 2 bases to help you be the captain. Hello and welcome to this week's Insight Aviation podcast. We're going to start with a quick video from our sponsor and we'll rejoin the conversation.
Be the captain.
Be the captain.
Be the captain.
Welcome to Wayman Aviation Academy.
The thing that sets Wayman apart from other flight schools here, basically the location, fleet size,
being able to provide high quality training.
They have the resources, they have the fleet, they had everything I was looking for to start my career as a pilot.
Wayman is a very airline-oriented operation.
The Academy offers complete ab initio flight training programs and courses.
Get to know each student, because each student is different.
Wayman Aviation Academy operates a large fleet of more than 40 airplanes and full-motion flight simulators.
Here, maintenance is priority number one, and we take pride in what we do.
Realizing your dreams at Wayman is within reach.
I choose Wayman.
I choose Wayman.
I choose Wayman.
Wayman Aviation Academy, developing the skills and attitudes for safe, successful, and professional pilots around the world, changing lives through aviation.
Hello and welcome to Insight Aviation Podcast presented by Wayman Aviation Academy. Every few weeks, we try to get together aviation professionals around the industry, captains, air traffic controllers, airline representatives. And in today's case, we have a person with a lot of experience, Dr. Jorge Guerra from Florida Memorial University. Can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Hi, Eddie, and thank you so much for inviting me to speak today to your audience. Like you said, my name is Jorge Guerra, and I've been in aviation approximately 40 years, and am now the director of the Aviation and Safety Department at Florida Memorial University. We have three programs currently here at the university that are aviation related. We have the Professional Pilot Program, and we prepare students to become professional pilots, commercial pilots, or corporate pilots. We have the Air Traffic Control Program, providing instructions on air traffic, whether it's tower, en route, separation of aircraft, that kind of thing, so that they can get ready to be hired by the FAA. And we have an Aviation Management Program that has a broader scope. And all three of them are four-year degrees, bachelor degrees. And we're happy that you've invited us to speak today.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's, Florida Memorial is such an interesting program here right in the middle of South Florida in North Miami. As I meet aspiring pilots and aviators, what something that often comes out is the collegiate route through aviation, right? You can go directly to a flight school like ours and get certificates. Some people go to the local airport and Part 61, doing little bites at a time. But there's really some great benefits to collegiate aviation, right? And I know you've got a broad experience in collegiate aviation. Yeah. What do you think is the biggest separation, the biggest motivator for students going through a college route?
So that's a really great question. And I also want to mention that, we've just signed a contract with Wayman Aviation Academy, and you all now are our providers for the flight training. So yeah. At the collegiate level, we're excited about this partnership, and we're just so pleased that we have you now as our flight provider.
Well, let's take a moment there. So as are we, we're extremely proud and excited about all the potential with Florida Memorial University. We love kind of working in the collegiate space because students, they have this depth of knowledge. They've gone through your in-class ground schools. And there's a lot of opportunity, not just not just within the academics or the flying of it, but also broadly for international students, for scholarships, for financial aid. I feel like I'm answering the question that I just asked you, right? So we're very much looking forward to working with Florida Memorial. And but from your point of view, what is that big the bonus of going through collegiate aviation?
The advantage is that not only are you getting a four-year degree that is, you know, has all of the components that you would expect from having a bachelor's degree, a bachelor's of science degree, but it also has good implications in terms of your flight hours to qualify for ATP. So if you are a student who is a collegiate student and you went through the 141 program, they're eligible to receive their ATP within 1,000 hours. So you go from 1,500 hours, which is the standard going through a flight school. Now those hours are reduced to only 1,000. So that's a big benefit. And like what you mentioned as well, other benefits are that if you're an international student, you qualify for an F1 visa, which has you come here to the university. We have dorms here at FMU, so you can live on campus. We have, you know, meal plans, transportation, all kinds of benefits for students that come from a foreign country. We have a lot of students that come from the Bahamas, Jamaica, pretty much all the islands in the Caribbean, Dominican Republic, Colombia as well. So we cater to those students. And those students are able to stay after they've completed the program so that they can spend another 3 years after graduation. So those are some of the benefits. Yeah. In addition to the fact that we have our own airplane, which you will be managing as for Wayman Aviation Academy. So we do discount our prices for our students. So that's a big benefit. And our flight training devices that we have here on campus are at no cost to our students. So there's some savings there as well. So there's a lot of opportunities for students that want to become pilots to come to FMU and really get a world-class instruction in how to become a pilot.
Absolutely. We can spend a lot of time just on each one of those points. The first one, of course, that you mentioned was the restricted ATP. Yeah. So a four-year program is able to reduce that 1,500-hour requirement to 1,000 hours,
that's
right?
Correct.
And that's excellent because that just opens the door to putting your applications in with the airlines a little bit earlier. The pilot shortage is back in a big way. American Airlines said they wanted 300 pilots before the end of the year and 1,000 next year. So that just kind of helps you get quicker to the front of the line because seniority is everything in the aviation world and the airlines. So that is definitely a big draw. In the restricted ATP, at the four-year level, you can have 1,000-hour ATP. At a two-year college level, associate level, it's 1,250, I believe.
Correct. That's correct.
A smaller bit of a difference. Now, we both have a partner in common, which is Miami-Dade College.
Yes.
And they're, you know, the largest college in the country. And I believe you spent time at Miami-Dade College as well way back, right?
Yes. I worked at Miami-Dade College for a few years. And they have a very good program over there. We just recently signed an articulation agreement. An articulation agreement is just a fancy word, educational word, to say that if you complete the program at Miami-Dade College, right, you can come right into our program, our four-year program, and we transfer all the credits that you earned at Miami-Dade College. We take them all. So if you earn 60 credits at Miami-Dade, we take them. And then you only have to complete the next 60, in this case, it's 61 credits to get your four-year degree. So it's a great partnership, a great articulation agreement we've signed with Miami-Dade College. And it just gives students this very nice, smooth pathway from a two-year college to a four-year college. We call it a 2+2. And then once they come here, they should have enough time flying that they should have the whole 1,000 hours by the time they graduate with their four-year degree. And so then it's just a transition.
Certainly. So this is really good, particularly for our local students, the students that are right here in South Florida, in Miami-Dade County already, because you know it's very inexpensive to study at Miami-Dade College. You know, somewhere in the area, I believe about $110, $120 per credit. So very inexpensive to get those first 2 years done. During those 2 years, you're getting your private, your instrument, your commercial, and oftentimes even your CFI, flight instructor certificate. And then as they transition to Florida Memorial, you can continue your studies and at that point work with us, you know, the flight training provider or really any other flight training provider at that point. But it's a great way to keep the collegiate experience going. When you apply for the airlines, they're looking at certificates, your hours, but definitely for the majors and for any kind of leadership role, that degree is so important. Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah. So if you're an airline and you've got the choice between hiring someone that has a degree and someone who doesn't, a college degree, usually, you know, the college graduate is the preferred individual. So it also adds to your resume and your attractiveness of being hired.
Absolutely. The 2+2 model is excellent for, like I said, for local students here in Miami-Dade that are making that step forward, right? Because they get such a great discount. Now, the other side of it, of course, is the international students. And they have a great benefit of working at Florida Memorial as well, because they arrive in the program, and the same idea, you know, in the first year or two, they're going to get through their private instrument commercial certificates, and they can continue on working on campus with the flight training provider, which is us. And for those of you that don't know where Florida Memorial is, it's in North Miami between the Palmetto and Opa-locka Airport. Right. So I believe if you look out your window, you'll see Opa-locka Airport, right?
I see the runway from my window.
Yes.
And yes, we're on the north side of the runway. Mm-hmm. We're actually in what's called Miami Gardens. So if you're familiar with Miami Gardens, if you're on the Palmetto right after, if you're going east on the Palmetto, we're off that 47th Avenue exit. And so we're very centrally located. We're not too far from I-95. We're like 4 miles from, if you all know where the Hard Rock Stadium is, where the Miami Dolphins play, we're only about 4 miles from there.
Excellent, excellent. And, you know, I think that's something that's really interesting, because I've always thought of Florida Memorial, and I've said this to you, expressed this to you before, as a little bit of a jewel in South Florida that people aren't generally aware of. You know, Miami-Dade College is massive. It's, like I said, the largest college in the country. FIU, a big growing campus, multiple campuses throughout the area. And there's a lot of education happening in South Florida. But the fact that Florida Memorial is one, so central, a four-year university located right next to an airport in what is an aviation town, right? Miami Broward has, Beacon Council, which is Miami-Dade's development branch, says 1 in 4 jobs in South Florida are tied to aviation, right? Whether that's directly at the airport and the airlines or cargo or tourism or all the services that we do internationally, Florida Memorial is located between Miami International and Fort Lauderdale International.
That's right.
Not to mention North Perry and Opa-locka, which are the general aviation airports that we operate out of. So location-wise, it's excellent. You know, I remember when I was going to grad school, somebody told me, well, go to the grad school where you want to then form your network, right? So naturally, if you're in South Florida and you start joining the aviation networks that are down here, you're immediately plugged into captains, managers that are working at American Airlines, at Spirit, at JetBlue, at these major airports.
Yeah. So, and we have great partnerships as well. We have a partnership with Miami International Airport, and they provide FMU 10 internship slots annually.
Excellent.
And these are 3-month internships that students are able to work at the airport, and they will be rotated through different departments and get to see how the operations are, either on the air side or on the ground side. It really is a tremendous opportunity. We have internships with American Airlines, so our students get to go to an airline if that's what they really want to do. So there's just amazing opportunities here in Miami. Like you said, it's really the hub of aviation. And then our connection to Latin America and the Caribbean just makes it even more so. Going back to what you were saying regarding the international student, one of the benefits that we also have is that it is a university that has dorm rooms. Mm-hmm. So if you're an international student, you don't really need to search for housing or have that kind of expense. We have dorms on campus. We have, a meal plan that you can, eat your three squares a day. Go ahead.
Both housing and the meal plan is so important because, if you're a parent of a son or daughter that wants to go into the aviation world and you're sending them off to possibly another country to learn, you want to make sure they have a roof over their head and they've got those meals a day. We hear it all the time. It's one of the biggest concerns. And people arrive, and South Florida is not the cheapest place to live, right? It's got rising housing costs. And so at least to get established, it's nice to have those dorms available. Again, very centrally located, easy to get to school, to classes, to the flight line. Definitely a big bonus there for anybody coming from outside of the region.
Yeah, we've done some calculations on that as well. So if you, when you're talking about an economic decision that you need to make, the fact that you can send your son or daughter to FMU, and when you look at the cost of the dorms, the meal plan, and tuition and everything else, it's actually less than if you moved over here and tried to rent an apartment and ate out or had to do groceries. So if you look at it as on an economic level, it makes so much sense to have your son or daughter here at the dorms with the meal plan and doing their flight training. It's the most affordable training you can do.
So let's spend some time there on the economics of going through a program like this. For local students, I think it's pretty clear. The 2+2, it makes a lot of sense. And then, if you've got your CFI, you're kind of doing a bit of a work study while you're in college. For the international student, it's even more so because the vast majority of students cannot work when they are going to classes, right? You're supposed to be in a doing something that's similar to what you're studying. So most colleges, universities have a work study option, right? Which, when I think back to my school, the option was like to work in the library or the cafeteria or things like that, right? But because you have us and we have you as a flight training partner, students can work on campus with us as a flight instructor, as a professional pilot. And that's pretty amazing right there, because so let's say in your sophomore year, you have your commercial CFI license, you have your junior and senior year to exercise those privileges.
That's right.
Right. So in those 2 years, an instructor can easily fly 1,000 hours. Right?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. It may not even take you a year if you're flying regularly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's all considered on campus. So not only are you getting your degree, you're getting a paycheck and you're getting hours, right? It's a trifold right there.
And if you've been taking student loans and that kind of thing, those loans are deferred as long as you're still in school. Mm-hmm. So you don't really have to pay back your loans until 6 months after you graduate.
Right.
So there's benefits that way too.
One of the interesting things that we came across when we were talking about this was that in a college program you have what's called OPT, occupational professional training. Right. It's I always consider the metaphor of a doctor. Right. They get their degrees, then they've got to go out and put 2 years of a residency, practice what they've learned before they kind of release that into the world as a full-fledged doctor. It's similar for pilots, right? You've got to put in your time, typically as an instructor or flying cargo or banner towing, whatever it might be, until you're released into the world as a full-fledged pilot, let's say. Again, a difficult thing for international students to do, because if they go home with their 250-hour commercial license, there's a pool of people waiting to work at Copa or Avianca or wherever it might be that are there with you. But if you're here and you're able to do the work study, now you have another 1,000 hours. But this OPT gives you another year. And because it's a STEM major, right, science, technology, engineering, and math, there's a 2-year extension on top of that. That's an entire 3 years that somebody can work after they graduate from Florida Memorial. Is that right?
Yes.
So that's impressive.
Yeah, that's think about that. I mean, you could actually spend the next 7-8 years
Sure.
Here, you know.
Now, and especially the industry being where it is with the shortage of pilots, we've come to the point where a lot of our airline partners are willing to take on people that are in that status, right? If you have 1 year of OPT, that's not a lot for an American Airlines or a Silver or anybody like that to really kind of recoup their investment in you. Because when an airline takes on a pilot, you know, the first 3 months are putting you through simulator and studying and the line and all those things. And
type rating. Sure.
Exactly, right? Through all that, it's at least the first 3 months or so. And then they finally have confidence in you and you have to leave, you know, just 9 months later, right?
Yeah.
So most airlines have been unwilling to do that. But at 3 years, it's a very different proposition. I want to say that in the regionals, the typical lifespan is about 3 to 5 years before they upgrade to a major, you know, an American Airlines, a Delta, United. So then, well, that becomes very attractive, right? You recoup your investment in this young pilot who is a first officer, maybe even gets upgraded to captain before their time comes. And that's when the kind of the doors open up here, because now a student in their first year is doing all their training. The first year or two is doing all their licenses. Years 3 and 4, they're doing their flight instructing, gaining those 1,000 hours of experience to get your restricted ATP, right? And then in the following 3 years, they're out there working the airlines. They could be with Silver right here at Fort Lauderdale flying the islands. They could be with our partners SkyWest or Republic flying under American, United, Delta banners. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that person after 3 years probably has, I would think, at least another 1,000 hours, probably more, maybe another 2,000
hours.
Probably
more. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So now you're looking at about you're looking at an ATP rated pilot who has FA ATP licenses, because you have to have ATPs for those jobs. And probably in the order of 3,000 to 4,000 hours.
Yep.
Right? So that's a very, and 121 airline. Or 135 charter experience if they want to fly executive.
Yeah.
At that point, you're going back to your home country, right? If and who's not going to take you?
You're writing your own ticket. It's possibly one of the cleanest, smoothest transitions or pathways that we've been able to come up with in, you know, in this industry, because this is not a new a new issue. In aviation, we've known that there's been a lot of, in the past, a lot of concern over the number of pilots that are in the pipeline, right? And we've always had something happens that kind of disrupts everything, and things get kind of smoothed out. And it happened, you know, after 9/11, and it happened in 2008, and now the pandemic. And they raised the age limit a few years back. So there's always been something that kind of alleviates this, but we're heading towards that perfect storm where we've got more airlines coming up internationally. There are more people flying. Aviation is not going to shrink anytime soon. All the projections are that it's going to continue to grow exponentially. So our biggest concern is really, will we have enough pilots and technicians, by the way, because this also applies to technicians, will we have enough to meet the demand of the flying public and not risk safety? Because we know that safety is our number one always priority in aviation. So we're in a great place right now. If you're a young person and you want to become a professional pilot, I don't think I've ever seen it this good for that prospect, right? It isn't good for the airlines, but it certainly is for anybody who wants to come into this industry.
It is. You know, we had a lot of students that took a back seat during the pandemic, and you know, they were unsure of where the industry was going or how long this was going to take. And we've seen them just kind of flooding back into us this year because they realize, all right, we're on the back end of this. Things are picking up dramatically. We started the conversation talking about how American Airlines is hiring 300 before the end of the year, 1,000 next year. And even though it's lagging behind the U.S. internationally, they're not far off, right? Not far off.
everybody, and then everybody's cherry picking everybody else, right? That's Which is a problem, right? Because internationally, everybody's trying to find who the experienced pilots, right. And it just opens up a lot of doors. So it's important that we stay focused on what is really ahead of us. Mm-hmm. This isn't going to hopefully last forever, and people will want to continue flying. And even though we're hearing a lot of chatter about, now with Zoom and Teams and people having meetings virtually, how much business travel is going to be affected? I don't think it's going to have any kind of an effect at all.
I'll tell you, I was in Charlotte over the weekend visiting a friend for a surprise birthday party. And the Charlotte Airport, which is a hub for American Airlines, was full. It was so full. I was like weaving between people. I was very impressed by just how busy the airport was. Yeah. And that's becoming a common event again.
Yeah. And this is exacerbated the situation as well, because, a lot of airlines reduce their fleets.
True.
And started packing these airplanes. I mean, I don't think that there's a single airplane that's going with an open seat these days.
Sure, they're awful. Yeah.
And airlines are actually canceling flights because they don't have the crew to fly the airplane. So this is really an opportunity. Young people that want to come into this industry, this is the perfect timing.
The timing is right. And it's always what opportunities are a combination of timing and preparation. And the timing is great right now. If a student starts, let's say in our next orientation class, which is, I believe, the 10th of November, 1 year from there, they should have their commercial licenses. So they're looking at November of the following year. And we'll have their 1,000 hours for an ATP, within a year after that. So the timing goes really quick. Now, as I'm thinking about this, if a student were to finish their 1,000 hours ATP and hasn't graduated Florida Memorial yet, they could still be taking on work with an airline or a charter organization as they complete their university degree. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see any reason not to. You've got to be careful.
If they're international students, they have to be careful because they do still have to be a full-time student.
Right.
And a full-time student at Florida Memorial University is a 12 credit load per semester, not including the summers. Summers, there's no requirement. But during the two major terms of the fall and the spring term, which starts in January, they have to carry a full-time load, which is 12 credits.
So in cases like that, somebody like Silver Airlines, which flies out of Fort Lauderdale, flies the Caribbean, those are pilot jobs where you sleep every night in your own bed and you have a pretty predictable schedule, right? We've had lots of conversations with IBC, which kind of works similarly. You come home every night. There's no 3 or 4 day trips. And a big part of the industry that's constantly overlooked, I recently found out, so NBAA, the National Business Aviation Association, they had their big conference in Las Vegas, I think about a week ago. And the numbers were interesting. A full third of professional pilots work in executive aviation, which is a lot. It's a huge amount. And Opa-locka is one of the big executive hubs of the country. It's Opa-locka, Fort Lauderdale, up in the Teterboro, New York area, and over Santa Monica, Los Angeles area. That's like the big triangle for executive aviation.
Yeah.
Often overlooked, but I have this fun question. Whenever we have an orientation day, we go around and we ask everyone what's your name, where you're from, and what your favorite airplane is. And there's always lots of Boeing and Airbus. The debate goes on. But I always have at least one or two people that tell me a Gulfstream, a Citation, a Challenger. And in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, there's my corporate kid. They're going to go corporate. Beautiful machines.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're even eligible to possibly be in the right seat of an airplane even sooner than the 1,000 restricted ATP, right? So because they're flying a different under a different federal regulation, if they're flying Part 91, they don't need to have 1,000 hours.
That's a valid point, actually. And we keep talking about how the path is really commercial CFI 1,000 hours airline, but there's a lot of people who have no interest in becoming a flight instructor. And that's perfectly fine. You know, it's the path that we know, but it does take a certain kind of personality, patience, that willingness to teach. And for some people, they just would rather not do that, right? So if they put it said they're focused on multi-engine time and things like that, most charters that I'm aware of, like the 402s and things like that, that fly cargo and people to the Bahamas, usually take on first officers at about 500 hours.
That's right.
It's not a huge amount, right? And so for the people that want to go that route, there's a really simple kind of off-ramp. All right, let's get you in touch with one of our charter partners and start that career progression. I guess it's just not as clearly laid out as the airlines. The airlines have done a pretty good job especially over the last few years with cadet programs and pathway programs of saying, you know, A plus B equals C. Mm-hmm. But then those other guys that don't want to do A plus B equals C, they're a red or a number four. They're not a letter.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. And so we have to provide those kind of opportunities for those students as well. So yeah, we're hoping to put some partnerships together with some of these corporate partners, mm-hmm. that fly the 91, the 135s, you know, different ways, and see how we can help students get into first officer positions at these corporate.
I think Florida Memorial will have a lot of success with that, because just like the airlines are hiring away flight instructors from us and we're giving them flight instructors, they're also hiring away from those corporate individual or the XO jets, the net jets. And so everyone is looking for those pilots, right? And yeah. three years, if that's what you've got as an international student, is enough time for them to recoup their investment in you and have a nice positive flow of pilots going through.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, everybody's like I said, picking from different areas to go to the next level, and that opens up at the at the bottom level.
Yeah.
So the ab initio trainings, we continuously feed this pipeline, and hopefully, you know, it's this nice flow where people can get into the industry and advance quickly.
Absolutely.
Like I tell a lot of our students, and I've been. Like I said, I've been doing this for a long time. You know, it's not an easy path, right? Because everybody thinks about, everybody thinks about, oh, I'm going to be a 777 pilot. And, you know, that takes a lot of time and work.
But a lot of time and effort, a lot of study. Yeah,
you got to be willing to put in all the hard work before you can get there.
Now, something that scares away a lot of students also is the cost of becoming a pilot. Now, we know there's a great return on the investment because, you know, if you put, $50,000 plus $50,000 in your education, say $100,000, and your starting regional airline pay is right now about $60,000 bonuses and everything, that means you're recouping what you invested within about 2, maybe 3 years. You're recouping that investment. Now, good luck to a doctor paying off his student loans in 2 to 3 years, right? But Florida Memorial has, for locals and internationals, some really interesting scholarship opportunities as well, right?
We do. We're blessed with having scholarship monies available to students. Much more for the U.S. citizen. There's a lot less restrictions for students that are U.S. citizens and that kind of thing. But even for some of our international students, we do have some scholarship. And I hate putting numbers out there necessarily because past performance does not indicate future returns, right? sort of a little caveat of just because we gave away this much this time doesn't mean we're going to continue to do that. But we awarded over $135,000 in scholarships to our students just this fall for the spring semester.
That's amazing.
And we have good friends in the Greater Miami Aviation Association that awards scholarships to our students as well. We get scholarships from OBAP, from Women in Aviation. So there are a lot of other streams of funds that come to FMU to help students in their aviation career. And we're looking at other ways to raise money to help students. We're looking at hopefully putting a gala together as well in February in conjunction with Black History Month and the Tuskegee Airmen, because there's a Tuskegee Airmen chapter that also is part of FMU. So we want to raise more money so that all those proceeds go towards student scholarships.
That's excellent. And, you know, that's such an interesting part because I think that's one of those big benefits of collegiate aviation is having access to not only federal financial aid, which mostly covers college tuition, but these scholarship opportunities is what really help you kind of get the propeller moving, right? It's fuel in the tank. And it's a one-page essay, you know, you just got to submit it. And oftentimes, I know the Greater Miami Aviation Association has trouble finding people to give the scholarships to. It's such a crazy situation, right?
It is amazing, yeah. And it's not that difficult. Obviously, you know, there's the grade point average requirement that many scholarships have, but most of them have it at a 3.0, which is reasonable. That's a B average, and we certainly want to invest our monies with students that are serious about their education and that put in the hard work to get a good grade. Mm-hmm. So having a 3.0 is usually just the basic requirement. And then just write an essay that, you know, tells us about who you are, what your goals are, what your aspirations are in the aviation industry, and how you plan on using the money. And that's pretty much all that's really needed.
Right.
That's it. That's what GMA requires. That's what OBAP requires. That's what we require here internally at the school. And it's not that difficult. It's not like you have to go and jump through a lot of hoops to get some.
Absolutely. It is impressive. And a lot of people, you know, they're piecing things together. We're lucky enough to have Sallie Mae, which offers these great loans for flight training. But, you know, I usually tell people exhaust these other avenues. When the application dates come along, I'm putting it up on our social media. I'm like, please apply for the OBAP, Organization for Black Aviation Professionals. Please apply for the LPA, Latino Pilots Association scholarships. Because, you know, if a loan, okay, a loan gets you there, but you're going to have to pay it back, right?
Yeah, you do. Right?
So what these organizations are, it's groups of pilots that are 10, 20 years down the road, often with the help of Spirit Airlines, American Airlines, JetBlue, you know, putting money into the funds because they want pilots. So they're basically blessing these organizations to go out and find people to give scholarship funds to so they can have more pilots. And so I say, you know, exhaust those before you turn to loans.
Yeah, right? I agree. And, you know, it just takes a little bit of effort. Mm-hmm. To find those opportunities, those scholarships, and then just apply for them.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not that difficult.
You know, I always give the example. We had this excellent student. She was a dispatcher for us. She was an instructor for us. Odie Odanis, former Miami-Dade College student. She paid for her private pilot out of pocket. You know, family put together the money for private pilot. And then she did absolutely everything else with scholarships. Everything, yeah. You know, from there forward. And I think at the end of it, she actually had leftover scholarship funds that she actually just kind of blessed another student with, which was so
generous. Yeah, how wonderful is that?
Yeah, it was really nice. And, you know, she's flying today. I'm going to get this wrong. I want to say she's flying for SkyWest right now out of Chicago. You know, living the dream. She put in the time and the effort and with lots of guardian angels, you know, kind of helping her get there. But she put in a lot of work, a lot of finding those scholarships, applying for them, following up on them. But what a great return on your time, right? How many jobs do you have out there where you put in 2-3 hours and you get $2,000 to $5,000, right?
Where do you get that kind of return?
$1,000 an hour. Even our airline captains aren't making that, right? So, and they do very well. So
exactly.
Yeah.
We've got some questions.
Sure. We can start addressing those. If you have questions, either here or on the Facebook, we're on Facebook Live as well. Go ahead and put them in the comments, put them in the chat or the Q&A button. And let's start stepping through them. There was some in the chat from early on, which somebody was wondering, what was the best major for becoming a pilot? What is the name of the bachelor's pilot degree at Florida Memorial?
It's a Bachelor's of Science in Aeronautical Science with a concentration in flight education. I'm going to be removing the that education portion, and it's probably going to become just an aeronautical science with a concentration in pilot, professional pilot. But yeah, that's your best bet, because you'll be taking the ground school courses, which are credit bearing courses, here, and then as you get your different certificates, you get awarded credits for those towards your degree.
Now, your most popular major right now is aviation management.
Yes, it is.
Right. And do those students have the option to fly as well?
They do, because there's space inside the degree to take electives.
Okay.
And you can take those flight, you can take the ground school and flight and fill those elective courses.
Okay.
Right? The only thing that it may prevent you from getting are some of the scholarships that are exclusively for pilot students, because you have an aviation major that's not pilot. You may not qualify for some of the scholarship.
All right. That's a valid point. So scholarships, if that's something that's part of the calculation, right, just your major. But it is interesting, because some people start off wanting to be pilot. I see this actually quite a bit. I do a good amount of career counseling here. Start off wanting to be a pilot, and for whatever reason it might be, maybe they never get over the motion sickness. Maybe they realize they don't have those motor skills that it takes. I had one person just told me the responsibility was too much, you know, which I can understand. But they love, they had a passion for aviation. So that's where the aviation management degree comes in really well, because you can work at an airport, at an airline, operations. You know, someone's got to run the airlines, right?
FBOs.
Absolutely.
Maintenance, MROs. You can. It really just opens up. It expands that scope of where you could apply your knowledge, your skills inside the aviation industry.
Now, I know that your third major there is also air traffic control.
Yes.
Got this beautiful tower, nice simulators that are all set up. We have somebody here in the Q&A who's asking if they can be a pilot and an air traffic controller simultaneously. That's got a little bit of juggling, I think.
Actually, I know several air traffic controllers that work out of either the Miami Center or the tower that happen to be pilots as well. They're not commercial pilots.
True.
Obviously, but they do have their ratings, so that you can be a pilot and an air traffic controller. My biggest concern right now with air traffic control as a career is that, because of technology and because of recent hiring that the FAA has made with younger people, their outlook over the next 10 years is that they're not going to be hiring as many air traffic controllers. Wow. So we're looking, you know, their outlook is about 800 controllers a year nationwide.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's quite the opposite of what's happening with airline pilots and technicians, where we've got so many thousands of people that are needed. With air traffic control, it's going to be limited. So I'm very cautious when I speak to students that want to go into air traffic control, because there is going to be limitations as to how many people will be hired in the future.
That's an excellent point. So that's got to be the outcome of improving technology, you know, workloads. An air traffic controller can probably handle more territory and more aircraft because of next gen and all these upgrades that are happening throughout the system. That's really interesting. I wasn't aware of that. But you're absolutely right. I know some wonderful controllers that fly for themselves for fun. It's hard to have dual professions like that, right? Because
the scheduling just doesn't permit it.
Right. Air traffic controllers have some pretty out there schedules, right? And so do pilots.
Yeah.
Right? They say there's no such thing as a holiday for a pilot. They're usually working on those holiday weekends.
Absolutely. That's when everybody wants to fly.
That's true. An interesting question here from Mario. He's already a commercial multi-engine pilot in Peru, and he's curious about coming to the U.S. and convalidating his licenses. Now, the collegiate route, I think, is perfect for somebody like that.
Well, if they want to get a degree, we can validate their licenses and give them credit for those courses. if they want a degree. If all they're looking to do is just get their licenses validated, that's a different route altogether.
Well, so we have some experience with this. We've had quite a few go to Miami-Dade College and kind of pursue this, right? So it's almost identical to having done the coursework with us, except when you come, you've got to do these convalidation courses. So instead of flying, 200, 250 hours to get your commercial licenses, I think the typical convalidating pilot probably does about 50 to 60 hours convalidating their instrument and their commercial and multi-engine to FAA levels, right? There is a difference. First of all, you got to do it all in English, right?
Yeah.
And you got to, they'll convalidate your private free of charge. Actually not free of charge. It's a sit down. Usually you have to pay the FAA $300 for that convalidation, but they'll verify the paperwork. And then you do these steps and you have now a US FAA commercial license. So again, you would step in with Florida Memorial basically as a sophomore, and then continue on, right? Flight instructor.
Well, not necessarily as a sophomore. Depends on, have they taken any other college courses before?
Well, I'm thinking the 30-odd credits for private, commercial, multi.
Yeah, that's what they would get. Yeah.
Right.
But if they have other college credit from another university, those can also be translated. That's called the translation of degrees.
Okay.
And we have services that you also have to pay a fee to get it done, but we can award credit, American U.S. college credit, for courses taken abroad if they're translated properly.
So that's our friends. For example, I was in Guatemala, the Polytechnic. We've got some friends down there in Peru at Universidad San Martin de Perros. Excellent school, 5-year aviation program. So theoretically, they could transfer a lot of those credits to Florida.
They could. If they're an accredited university in Peru or in Guatemala, and they get translated here, and we can award whatever credit it is that they received from that university.
That's really interesting there, and potential I hadn't thought about, because there are these programs. So, for example, Universidad San Martin is a wonderful university in Peru. It's got 2 airplanes, for probably 400 aviation students, right? Mm-hmm. So there's potential, quite a bit of potential there. Another question that I saw here just a moment ago was about age. We've got a student, Eduardo, who's at Miami-Dade College right now, and we're also getting questions from our friend Orlando at Miami-Dade College. Eduardo says he's 29, plans to come to Florida Memorial after MDC. Is it too late to become an airline pilot at my age? Right. So the thinking on this has changed quite a bit. I get this question a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that I wouldn't say a cutoff, but most airlines wouldn't hire you above 30 because they want to recoup their investment. That math has changed dramatically over the last 10 years with the pilot shortage. I regularly see people well into their 40s getting picked up by the airlines because of that need. Now, another place where we have a lot of career changers, people that, studied engineering or architecture or whatever it might be, and they decided it wasn't the career they wanted. They always had this passion for aviation. So for those career changers, I see a lot of them not going so much into the airlines, but into the corporate world, executive aviation, where there is no age limit, not even the 65. Right?
That's correct. As long as they get their medical certificate, they're good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I mean, Eduardo, you're not even 30 years old. You really have another 40, 50 years of flight time ahead of you, right? So go for it. Jump in. Absolutely.
Exactly.
So Orlando at Miami-Dade College wants to know about the perfect storm as it relates to the aviation industry and COVID. And so that's something you said earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what COVID has done is that it grounded a lot of planes. It canceled a lot of flights and people were afraid of flying, and for good reason. I mean, we didn't know enough about this virus to feel comfortable getting into an aluminum tube flying at 35,000 feet. So airlines, obviously, you can look at any graph that shows how many hours were flown or on an economic scale, and you can see a major dip. But now that the flying public is returning, airlines are once again making money. I think it was Delta today had its quarterly earnings report, and they had a smaller loss than they anticipated. They didn't, it wasn't in the red, but it wasn't as big a loss as that, what they thought. So they are coming back. More and more scheduled flights are being placed on the books. And I don't see that going the other way unless another, you know, crazy variant or something like that rears its ugly head and we can step back again. But aviation is going to grow exponentially. There's no indication otherwise.
Absolutely. And like I said earlier, being in such a hub of aviation, it's just natural for our local youth to come into this career, for international students to see the opportunities of coming here, building that foundation. Something I mentioned earlier, you know, these, after 6-7 years, these students, now captains coming out with 3,000 hours FATP in the U.S., the aviation industry, the profession is international, right? You go where the work is. I can't tell you how many pilots we know, whether they're from the U.S. or Panama or wherever they might be, that went to go work at Emirates or in China or wherever that is, because they were paying even double, triple what we were in the U.S., right? Mm-hmm. So if you come from a country that has a small market, I see someone in Facebook saying they're from El Salvador. If you come from a small market country, your potential is really as far as you're willing to go, right? If your potential is to potentially fly for Emirates or Qatar or out east, massive demand out there.
Massive demand in Asia, mm-hmm. and that's going to continue to grow.
Absolutely.
The economies of some of these countries are growing to the point where now there are a lot more people that have that income where they can fly and travel, mm-hmm. whether for business or leisure. So we're going to be seeing growth over the next 15, 20 years.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
And unless there's some really amazing technology advances, the fastest way to get from point A to point B is still an airplane. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Absolutely. So as we come to the end of our hour, where can people find more information about Florida Memorial and the aviation program?
So you can go on our website. It's fmuniv.edu and click or enter in the search bar. Just enter aviation, mm-hmm. and it'll take you to our webpage. And all the information that you need is there.
Excellent.
And you can also always call FMU and call me if you like. My number here, let me...
Well, maybe we'll save that for the liner notes. I don't know if you want to put your phone number out. Okay. I guess for everyone to jot down right now. But similarly for Wayman Aviation, if you're interested in getting more information about the flight school, it's wayman.edu. You can get us on all the social media platforms at Wayman Aviation. That's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, on all of them, at Wayman Aviation, right? And, of course, you're going to be seeing a lot more come out of Wayman and Florida Memorial as between now and the end of the year will be the press releases, probably have a site up to date where information can be available. I saw quite a few students and people just generally asking questions from Guatemala and from El Salvador. We actually have a presentation happening this Saturday, 9 a.m. Guatemala time, where I'm going to be presenting with Captain Gerardo about the Wayman Aviation Program, specifically for those markets. He's tied with the Politecnica right there in Guatemala. Talk about a possible university partner. And so for those of you that are in Central America, that's Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, El Salvador, please join us Saturday morning. That presentation is going to be specifically for you.
Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Dr. Guerra, for joining us. I'm really looking forward to everything coming ahead and for all these students launching their careers at Florida Memorial.
I'm really excited, and I'm excited for all the students that want to start their careers here. We are starting to take applications for the spring term that starts in January. Excellent. And today was the first day that students can actually register for courses starting in the spring. Nice. So if you're interested in coming to Florida Memorial, there's pretty simple steps. Just come and or go to our website and apply. You have to apply to the university and be accepted first. And then once you are accepted and you've selected the major for aviation, either pilot, management, or air traffic control, then you can start taking courses. You can apply for courses.
That's excellent. Today is registration day. So now's the time. 2022 is the year. Come start your flight training career. Be the captain with Florida Memorial and Wayman Aviation.
Right. Excellent.
Thank you so much. You have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Eddie. You too.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
This series is brought to you by Wayman Aviation Academy. Learn to fly with a safe, reliable, professional academy located between Miami and Fort Lauderdale in sunny South Florida, USA. Enjoy the training and cosmopolitan life with Wayman's 42 aircraft, 6 airline partners, and 2 bases to help you be the captain.